Father God, we thank you. You're such a great Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst today. Father God, we thank you for each every person that's here and each every person that's watching us online. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. But Father God, more than anything, we thank you that it will fulfill that plan and purpose. We thank you, Father, as we go to study your word tonight. We thank you, Father, your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And Father, we just thank you for each and every person here that as we get a hold of that word, as that word becomes life in our souls, and we take a hold of that word, we'll go out to the highways and the byways and the people that are down and out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to every living creature. Father God, we just thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. And Father, we just thank you tonight that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you that tonight as we go to minister your word, that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us all utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that changes situations and circumstances in an instant. We thank you, Father, that that anointing is present tonight here to change our lives. And Father God, we thank you also for Mom and Dad as they're starting their meeting tonight in Decatur, Alabama. We thank you, Father, for the healing anointing that's present. We thank you, Father, for lives being changed there. But Father God, we thank you for helping Mom and Dad have rest and relaxation as they're there in that meeting. And we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God's a good God. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm just thinking about things of the world and, you know, and I think that we all probably have some of the same thoughts right now. There's a lot of uncertainty going around. You know, it's some uncertain times. It seems in some cities in America that we have reverted back to racial relations back to the 1960s, like 50 years ago. It seems that everything is, you know, is not like it needs to be. You know, we face something that we've never faced before, well, until modern times, is the threat of terrorism, not just in big cities, but anywhere you go. We have an uncertain future right now with our presidential election, and it seems like a Mickey Mouse thing sometimes. You know, but real people are hurting. And real people have real problems. Now, I'm very patriotic, and I believe in the election process, and I believe that we should all vote, but I believe we should all pray. You know, and we should figure out who to vote for. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. I'm here to tell you to pray about it. I'm here to tell you that, you know what, this country's in a mess right now, and we need to change it. But, you know, I took a little nap this afternoon after I was, you know, had the TV on a little bit and took a little nap, and I woke up, and this song was going through my heart. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Now, the reason that Jesus is the answer is Jesus provides peace to our souls. But he is the only answer. And you know, I got it, man. People are not going to be perfect. And, well, not that we're perfect. We have Christ. But you can't expect people without Christ to act perfectly. And you can't expect baby Christians to act perfectly either. Remember when you just got saved? You were not perfect. We've all done things we wish we hadn't have done. But you know what? In an uncertain future, it's awesome to have a certain God. We know who our God is. We know where our peace comes from. I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, and this really is a verse that the Lord gave me for tonight, and I'm going to go from there. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. I'm reading from the King James Version. I'm sorry, New King James Version. And it says this. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." All right. It goes on to say, "Because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever. For in yea, the Lord is everlasting strength." You know, if our mind is stayed upon the Lord, everything is not just going to be peaceful. It's going to be in perfect peace according to the word. I liked it. It says perfect peace. Well, what's perfect peace? Well, we'll get to it in a few scriptures later. The peace that passes all understanding. You can understand it. It's just perfect. Why are you peaceful? Because you know who's in control. And who's in control is never the president, never the Congress, never the Supreme Court. It's God. It's God. God's always in control. No matter who the king is, the president is. I mean, we find that all through the word. You know, there were king after king after king, but God was still there on the throne. See, we don't put our trust in a king, a president, a prime minister, a congress member. We put our trust in God. We place our trust in God, and our peace can only be in God. Now, when I said that Jesus is the answer, do you understand just because you have Jesus doesn't mean you have the answer, that you only have the answer when your mind is stayed upon him? That's having the mind of Christ. That's thinking like he thinks. That's not your thoughts, but casting down imaginations, but thinking like Christ thinks. That's when you have peace. Now, I'm telling you, in the day and age that we live in, with 24 hours, you know, news cycles, and whether, even if you're not the television's not on, you know, as you're online on Facebook or whatever, we're inundated with news, and most of it's bad. All right? It's bad. The economy's bad. This is bad. Terrorism bad. The people running for presidents are all bad. The people running for all office are all bad. Everybody's bad. For some of you younger kids, or some of you my generation, I might remind you of Michael Jackson's song, "It's Bad." I mean, now in that generation, bad meant good. But you know what? I'm here to tell you it's all good. It's all good because God is still on the throne. It's all good. You know, it's going to be okay. You know, I've lived long enough and voted for enough people have won that I didn't think they should win. But you know what? God still reigned. Amen. And you know, we live in uncertain times. But you know what? We're also living in the end times. And the Bible says in the end times that people shall wax worse and worse. But instead of getting all upset about it, look up. The end is near. But you know what? We're still supposed to occupy till he comes. All right, it's not like we can check out now. Well, you know, it won't be too long, so we're going to check out for a few years. No, you don't check out. You check in. You check in. You keep your mind where it needs to be upon Jesus Christ. When you face any problem, you think about Jesus. You could think about your problem, but that's no fun. Because Jesus is the answer to that problem, that situation. You know, if you'll start seeing Jesus instead of problems, the problems won't look so bad. You know, but your future is bright. All right, John chapter 14. John, the 14th chapter, Jesus was talking to his disciples and trying to tell them about what was going to happen. You know, we had the benefit of knowing the rest of the story. Understand, at that time, they didn't know the rest of the story. They didn't know what was going to be fulfilled in the rest of the Gospels. I mean, you know, they didn't have all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They only had parts of it. All right? You know, only 14 chapters, and John had already taken place in that point in time. But John chapter 14, verse number 27, Interesting what Jesus says. And you know, one of the names of Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Interesting part about it, it says that Jesus said this, "A peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me. You've heard me say I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Now, before he said those words, skipping down back to verse number 25, he says, "These things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." All right, so the Holy Spirit is with us to bring us all things. But Jesus, whenever he left his disciples, he said, "Peace I leave." You know, his thing was he wanted to let everyone know, even when it gets tough or looks tough, be peaceful. Don't worry about it. He's still in control. It's not that he's died and went away, because see, it's much better now. I mean, you know, now he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're wherever he is. But see, we just don't see Jesus. You don't, you know, understand the disciples had the great privilege as everywhere that they walked, Jesus also walked with them. All right? And when they had issues, they, you know, and when things were not peaceful, like whenever they were there crossing the lake and the storm came up and they needed peace, they started crying out for Jesus. And Jesus said, "Peace, be still," and then rebuked them for not speaking to the storm themselves. But they always had him. But he said, you know, "In a few days, I'm no longer going to be here, but you can still have peace. The peace that I give to you, not that the world gives to you," because, you know, sometimes it will have a false peace that the world gives us, and we think just because we voted for the right person or this, that there's going to be, it's going to be peaceful. But that's just a false peace. There's only one true peace, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to peace, I mean, fear, you know, is the opposite of peace. All right? Interesting part about it, you know, every time, I mean, people always talk about how awesome it would be to actually see an angel, you know, but every time an angel appeared to anyone in the Bible, the you know, they were always afraid. He said, "Do not be afraid. I come in peace." You know, I'm because it's kind of interesting. You know, but Jesus is all about peace. Peace in the middle of the worst storm you've ever seen. And I tell you what, if you'll get a hold of it, if your mind will stay on him, I tell you what, things will not rock your boat. Situations will not rock your boat. I don't care what happened. I don't care that it seems that you should be all upset about it. What I do care is that Jesus Christ is still the answer. A few chapters later in John chapter 16, John the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse, he says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Understand, he says, "You may have peace in me." You know, that's, once again, kind of talking about having the mind of Christ. Whenever our mind is stayed on him, we have peace. And I'm trying to point out is you need to have mind control. And I don't mean you need to go around and have ESPE and try to read people's minds. ESPE and whatever, you know. You're not a mind reader. You have mind control. I mean, you got to control your emotions. You got to control your mind. Because when you want to cry, you just thank Jesus. All right? When things seem tough, you think Jesus says, in the world, you will have tribulation. So, you know, Jesus was telling us, I mean, things in the world are not going to get easier. They're going to get worse. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. My name is greater than tribulation. My name is greater than whatever circumstances you're going through. And if you'll trust in me, saith the Lord, you'll have peace. Peace. Jesus came in peace, but he came to give us peace. Now, we need to give people peace, but not a piece of our minds. Really, your mind doesn't matter. It's having the mind of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't educate ourselves. That doesn't mean, you know, that we shouldn't, you know, try to understand about things in the world. But what matters is when the chips are down, it's not about your mind. It's about having the mind of Christ. It's not about thinking, because, you know, the devil keeps hitting us left and right. And like I said, you know, and he has his cohorts, the news anchors and everybody else out there. Tell us how bad it is. And, you know, it doesn't matter who wins the presidency. I mean, you know, they're going to tell you how bad it is still. They're going to have some kind of other news cycle to tell you how bad it is. You know, there is, you know, I understand. We say, well, we have to report the news, so we have to. But it's interesting, you know, they don't tell too many good stories. I mean, every once in a while you get one of these Good Samaritan stories or whatever. But the majority of the time in the news, it's all about turmoil, tribulation. You know, because they understand that television and movie plots about turmoil and tribulation are, you know, sell more than plots about a Good Samaritan. You know, just how it is. You know, but sometimes we have to do what sometimes some of the newscasters call live in false reality. You know, quit living in the reality of the world or live in the reality of the Lord. Amen. The things that are impossible to man are possible with God. I'm not looking through my natural eyes at the future. I'm looking to Jesus in the future. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I run my race, as it says over in Hebrews chapter 12. You know, we run our race keeping our eyes on the prize, and our prize is Jesus Christ. You know, and sometimes that what happens is because we're looking, we get distracted by the winds and the waves and all the tribulation. But you know, don't be like the disciples in the boat. They're in the boat with Jesus, and they don't realize, you know, their whole faith is in him, and they don't realize that they have the same power and authority to speak to those waves. They're looking for somebody else to bring the answer. But see, we have found the answer through Jesus. And we have the power to lift up our voice and say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. What matters is what's going to happen in the future. I mean, there, you know, but Jesus is here to give you peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says this, and I'm going to kind of hurry up because it's 7:49. It says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. He wants to give you peace all the time. So, you know, in essence, if we ever have a time where we have fear, then that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to have peace. Now, to read a couple more scriptures, 1 Peter 5:7, usually I quote the scripture, but I'll read it. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know what? Every care, every anxiety, everything you're worried about, just give it to him. If you're worried about your future, if you're worried about your job, if you're worried about your situation, you're worried about your kids, you're worried about this, quit worrying about them and say, you know what, God? I can't control this, but you're in control. Here you go. Now, I found that if you're not caring about stuff, and you know, but so basically, I have a motto in life called I don't care. Maybe I should write a book about it. But it's true, I really don't. I mean, I have, you know, I was going through a time in my life one, you know, time, and young man at the time, I was 20-something years of age and doing a lot, had a lot of responsibility, a lot of stuff, and I had one of those days where people were just hitting me left and right with, and it wasn't they were hitting me with bad stuff. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, prepare for teaching. I was traveling, and I was supervising all these people, and everybody had problems at the same time, and everybody wanted to, I came back in town, and everyone wanted to see me at the same time, and all of a sudden, you know, I was feeling anxiety. You know, I just, because, you know, it was, people were trying, looking for an answer, and I get it, and all of a sudden, I realized at that point in time when the, you know, that I was trying to do a lot of things in my own strength. That's good. And someone came upon me and said, you know what, if I continue at this point, because I was just, at that point in time in my life, and many of you probably don't see this in me, so you would, you know, kind of, you wouldn't believe it, but I was real tightly wound. It was like, you know, it was just real intense about a lot of things going on. And now I was in my office. I mean, you know, just having a moment in my office, and all of a sudden, you know, it came upon, if I don't stop this, I'm going to have a heart attack before I'm 30 years of age. Because I'm just too stressed out. There's too many things going on. And finally, and so, you know, based upon this first couple of verses, you know, I just started saying, I don't care. I'm not going to care. I do care about what's going on, but I'm not going to let it affect my health. I'm not going to let it affect my life. You know, and I don't always have all the answers a lot of times, too. You know, and I got in a work environment a lot of times. People, they don't want to make the decision because they don't want to get in trouble if it messes up. So, you know, but, you know, Jesus is the answer. Amen. I want to leave you off with Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And at that point in time, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to read that real fast from the New Living Translation. It says it this way. Don't worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, you know, that should be an advice that every Christian should, I mean, it should be, that's one of these no-do of advices. I mean, you know, when you're going through stuff, don't worry about it, pray about it. But it says, goes on, it says, tell God what you need. You know, it's just simple. Whenever you pray, just say, God, this is what I need. How hard is that? This is what I'm going through. Here's what I need. Here's my situation, whether it be financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, you know, mental, whatever it is, this is what you need. What do you need? All right, here's what I need. But then tell him what you need and thank him for everything he's done for your life. You know what? Because God's a good God. You know, he's got you through a lot of messes. But then after that, as soon as you do that, as soon as you, you know, quit worrying about stuff, telling God what you need, thanking him for everything, then at that point, moment in time, it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we could understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Once again, it says that we have to live in Christ Jesus. Without Christ, we don't have peace. But with him, we have peace. And I need you, that's why I try to get you to understand that your mind has to be stayed upon Christ. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would Christ handle it? Would he worry about it? Would he fret about it? You know, it looked to me whenever he saw 5,000 plus hungry people,
He didn't. You know, he had an answer.
Anybody have food? Some little boy said, I got a little bit. Okay, we'll take that. And we'll do something with it. Said, well, how do you feed everybody? I don't know. He prayed. He believed. Everybody was fed. In fact, so much fed that there was food left over. How'd that happen? It's not for me to figure out. It's for me just to trust the Lord. Because you know what? God can do the same thing for me. He's no respecter of persons. He can feed me, he can clothe me, and he can have, and I can have stuff left over. But what do I expect? Do I expect to have that in my life? Or I'm so busy having a pity party and trying to figure out, you know, you're not going to figure out your future. I'm you know, you can have a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, and I do think you should have those kind of things. But you know what? 20 years from now, you're probably going to think, man, that was a stupid plan. Because that was your plan, not God's plan. 20 years now, you're going to wake up in another country thinking, I never thought I'd be a missionary. I never thought that the Lord would leave. You know, I mean, maybe not. Maybe, you know, I don't know what's going to happen 20 years from now. The thing is, whatever happens, happens. Follow after the leading of the Lord. Be peaceful. You know, just don't be worried about it. Don't we be worried about what's going on? Because you know what? Everything that I need, I have the power not to worry about it, but just ask him. Ask him. You have not because you ask not. Ask him, and you know, I ask the Lord for whatever I need, and I thank him for everything he's done. That's a real, isn't that pretty simple? Don't worry, ask, thank. And when we do, the Bible is clear. It says, at that point, you're going to have peace. Why? Because you're not worried about it anymore. You've given him your issues. So, Lord, here's my issue. I can't take care of them anymore. You know, but here's the thing. I found that a lot of Christians, they try to keep a couple of their own issues. Well, God's a small issue. You know, it's not that big. I'll handle this one. You can take care of the other 99. You know, I've even found out it's interesting because, you know, been in places and, you know, had healing lines or whatever. You know, people don't come for colds sometimes. They won't come down for a flu. Well, that's not that big. I mean, I can handle it. I mean, you know, some Tylenol, you know, some, I can do this, do that, do the hokey pokey, whatever, you know. You know, the thing about it is God's concerned about everything of your life and every area of your life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this quick, short time, you know, to remind us that we can have peace in your Son, Jesus. And Father God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to this earth so that we can have that peace. And to help us to understand that whenever we're going through a situation and whenever we're going through turmoil in life, help us to understand, you know, instead of fretting about stuff, we can just have peace in Jesus. We can rest in him. We can relax. And we can know that he's taking care of the situation and that you're still on the throne. And we just thank you for everything you're doing in our midst today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, I know we have a few first-time visitors. We're glad to have you. There's the connection team will be in the aisle. And they want to take you and give you a special package that we have and a gift that we have. So just go with them real quickly, you know, on your way out. And, you know, the way we dismiss around here, if you have anything that you need, whether it be you need prayer for something, or if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to God, or you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we have men and women that are down here to pray with you. If you're a woman, you go to that side with the women. If you're a man, you go to this side with the men. If you don't know what you are, please talk to one of the ushers and they'll help direct you to the right place. All right? You know, when I first started saying that, you know, that wasn't a big deal. Now it's a big deal, so it's really even more important than it was at the point in time. Amen? Well, praise God. I want you to go in peace. Go in peace and have a wonderful, wonderful day, a wonderful week, and we'll see you right back here Sunday morning. 9 o'clock, school of the Bible. 10 o'clock here, morning worship, all right? God bless you guys. Take care.